Hello and welcome to the Summer Stars. My name is Fred Watson and I'm your guide to the night sky at this time of the year. The time of year when the sun doesn't set till quite late in the day, so the nights are short, but at least it's warmer and you can look at the stars in your shirt sleeves. Or, if you like, with no shirt on at all. So, at this time of the year, all the action is really in our northern sky. That means you stand looking towards the north. And the northern half of the sky is actually very rich in stars. And the most prominent of all the northern constellations is essentially right there in front of you, dazzlingly brilliant. It's one of the brightest constellations in the sky at this time of the year, and that is Orion. Orion is the hunter, and in ancient star maps you see Orion depicted with his tunic on and his belt and his sword, and he's holding a club in one hand, and in the other hand he seems to have the back half of a lion, which he's using to defend himself against the onslaught of Taurus the bull, who we'll get onto in a minute. But of course we're in Australia. So we're in the southern hemisphere of the sky, and Orion is upside down. That means he doesn't need his belt because his trousers won't fall down as they would in the northern hemisphere. And so Australian people, since the start of European settlement, have seen Orion as something slightly different. They see all the stars of Orion, this bright, squarish constellation, but in particular, the three stars of Orion's belt have become the base of the saucepan. So they see the saucepan with its handle going up to one side, and that's very much the way that we all know of Orion. Now, the handle of the saucepan is something that you should look at. If you've got binoculars, it's worth getting them onto it. But even with a naked eye on a dark night, where the moon is not around, it is a brilliant sight. The sword of Orion, or the handle of the saucepan, depending on which way up you want to see it, is actually the home of one of the brightest gas clouds in the sky, what we in the trade call nebulae. Nebula is just a word that means mist. It's what old astronomers called things when they couldn't put a name to it, whether it was a star or a planet. If it was something misty, then it was a nebula. And this nebula in Orion is actually a cloud of gas and dust, which is being excited into visibility by some very hot, young, vigorous stars near its centre, which are called the trapezium, which again you can see with a small telescope. So this cloud of gas, one of the brightest nebulae in the sky, and one of the things that makes Orion the most prominent of all the summer constellations. When you're standing facing north and seeing the dazzling constellation of Orion in front of you, you'll notice that the three stars of Orion's belt, or the base of the saucepan, if you extend a line through them in either direction, you get to a bright star. Extending the line through the belt of Orion to the right, which is to the east, takes you to the brightest star in the sky, Sirius, a dazzling white star. But if you extend the line of the three stars of Orion's belt downwards towards the left, sort of heading towards the northwest in the sky, you come to the reddish star Aldebaran, a bright star which is the eye of Taurus the bull. And Aldebaran's the brightest star in the constellation of Taurus, who, incidentally, we see upside down, just like Orion. So his horns are kind of pointing downwards. Aldebaran, the eye of the bull, is at the heart of one of the brightest clusters of stars in the sky, a cluster called the Hyades. And you can see when you look at Aldebaran that it forms part of a V-shaped collection of stars, and this is the Hyades cluster. These are stars that were born a few tens of millions of years ago and are still all together in the same part of the sky. It's what we call an open cluster in the trade. The Hyades is one of the brightest. If you look a bit further to the left and slightly nearer to the horizon, in other words to the northwest, you'll see another of these clusters, and perhaps the best known and best loved of all the clusters of stars in the sky. It's not a constellation, it's much smaller than a constellation, but this is the group of stars we call the Pleiades, the Seven Sisters. If you're in a very dark site and your eyesight is good, you might be able to count seven stars, but most people can only see six. And of course, we regard them as Seven Sisters. They were supposed to be being chased through the sky by Orion for whatever reason. In many different cultures throughout the world, they have a similar idea, a similar mythology. But the name I love the best for the Pleiades is what they are called in Japan, which is Subaru. And that's what the Pleiades are if you live in Japan. When you look towards Orion in the northern sky, if you look a bit further down towards the horizon and once more to the east, so you're looking right, you will see a box-shaped constellation of stars, almost like a rectangle, with two bright stars at its eastern end. Those two bright stars are the two twins, Castor and Pollux, and they are the brightest stars in the constellation of Gemini, or Gemini, the twins. Now, how you pronounce it depends on where you grew up. Where I grew up, it was always Gemini. Here in Australia, it's nearly always Gemini, so you take your pick. Gemini, the twins, is one of the most prominent constellations in our summer skies in the northeast. It is still rising as we look at it at this time of the year, but the two twins, very bright stars, very, very hard to miss. Follow your eyes round to the right or to the east, and if you go about the same distance again as the length of the rectangle of Gemini, then you will come to a patch of sky that is fairly empty. It does have stars in it, but none of them are dazzlingly bright. But there is at its centre a rather fuzzy patch, which is another of these clusters of stars. And this is the constellation of Cancer the Crab. Cancer is a constellation that doesn't have any really bright stars, so it's not that easy to see. But at its heart is the cluster. It is called Praesepe, that's its official name, but it's usually called the Beehive Cluster, because through binoculars it's the shape of an old-fashioned beehive with a round top. The round top being at the bottom in our skies because we're in the southern hemisphere. Have a look at it if you get the chance with binoculars. Praesepe is what's called an open cluster, a cluster of stars that are still where they were born, so they're only a few tens or hundreds of millions of years old. Praesepe is about 580 light years from the Earth as the crow flies. And remember, one light year is about 9 million kilometres. So it's a long way off, but it's actually quite close by in celestial terms. Continuing our journey through the northern sky, looking to the right past the Beehive Cluster, that fuzzy patch of light in the northeastern sky, you will see at this time of the year, not every year, but at this time of 2010, you will see a bright orange object. Some people describe it as looking like a golden star. It is golden, but it's not a star. That's the planet Mars, which is the only bright planet visible in our skies at the moment, but well worth a look. Mars, of course, beloved of science fiction writers, a planet that has intrigued astronomers and space scientists since antiquity, and a planet that has been well explored by humans, not directly by people setting foot on Mars, but by robotic spacecraft. And the two plucky little rovers, Spirit and Opportunity, which were meant to last 90 days but are up to 5 years now, are still exploring the surface of Mars and sending back the most extraordinary information, including the fact that Mars, yes, once had an ocean. Perhaps 2 billion years ago, Mars was a very different place from what it is now. If you can look through binoculars at Mars, you won't see much more than you can see with the naked eye, because Mars is too small to show up well in binoculars. You need quite a large telescope. But at the moment, Mars is approaching its closest approach this year, what we call opposition, and by the end of January, Mars will be due north at midnight, which means it's directly opposite the Sun. Turning now from the northern sky to the southern sky, our own special southern sky, you will find that at this time of the year, the Milky Way, if you can see it, if you're well away from city lights, the Milky Way runs vertically, almost overhead, passes from the south point of the sky right down to the north. And of course, all the action in the Milky Way is in the southern part of the sky. At this time of the year, the Southern Cross is on its side, very, very easy to find with the two pointers, Alpha and Beta Centauri, beneath it. But what I think you might be interested in looking for is above the Southern Cross itself, about as far above the Southern Cross as the cross is above the horizon, you will find another cross, what is called the False Cross, which, like our Southern Cross, lies on its side. It's a bit bigger, it's not as bright and not as obvious. But the False Cross is called that because it has in the past been mistaken for the Southern Cross. And since you can use the Southern Cross to find the direction of south, if you did it with the False Cross, you might go wrong. Now, the False Cross is actually not a constellation. Unlike the Southern Cross, the False Cross is made of stars from two constellations, and they are the constellation of Vela, which is a much larger constellation to the east, and the constellation of Carina, which is to the west. What is perhaps best to look for in the False Cross, especially if you have binoculars, is another of these clusters of stars, because off the end of the long axis of the cross, which is now sitting horizontally, if you scan your binoculars along there, you will find a little cluster of stars with the rather inelegant name of NGC 2615. It doesn't have a pretty name like Pleiades or Prisipi. It's called NGC 2615. NGC just means New General Catalogue. And it's a catalogue system that is so new, well, it was invented in 1888, I think, so it was new then but isn't now. And that is a way that astronomers use to identify these little patches of stars or gas or even galaxies in the sky. Look for NGC 2615 off the long end of the False Cross and you will be rewarded by a sight of many stars. It is actually off the right-hand end, which is now, we're looking south, is pointing towards the west. Looking again towards the southern half of the sky, you'll see the Milky Way, if you're in a dark place, stretching up vertically from the south horizon, stretching over your head. But if you look to the right, that is towards the west, you'll find that the sky is actually rather lacking in bright stars. In fact, there are constellations there, constellations like Cetus, Eridanus, Phoenix and Sculptor, which even hardened astronomers are actually quite hard-pressed to pick out because they're made up of faint stars. Why should this be? Well, the answer is that when you look away from the Milky Way, as you are doing towards the western sky at this time of the year, you're looking in a direction where there aren't many stars in our galaxy. The Milky Way is the plane of our galaxy, that giant spiral of 400 billion stars and lots of gas and dust and something embarrassing called dark matter, because we don't know what it is. All that constitutes our galaxy, and when you look at the Milky Way, you're looking through the thickness of the galaxy. But when you look away from that, as we are doing at the moment in the western sky, you're looking out through the sort of hazy upper regions of the galaxy, and the stars thin out very quickly. So not many stars, but if you were an astronomer using a very large telescope, you would find that this is a region rich in other galaxies. In other words, you're seeing in directions where the Milky Way isn't blocking our view, so you're seeing other people's Milky Ways, galaxies by the million, in fact. So at the moment, the western half of the sky, not many stars, but many, many galaxies.